Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. We have been in a series this week that is just perfect for the week before Easter. It's called It Cost All He Had, and Derek Prince has been teaching us about how Jesus' sacrifice is evidence of the love of God, what it ought to mean to us, how central the cross ought to be. And there was a truth that Derek taught yesterday that I hope really lives in our souls, and I want to just review it quickly before we dive into the rest of this wonderful teaching today. He used the parables in Matthew to talk about the fact that we, in a sense, are the pearl of precious price that God was seeking. And he said something that's so transforming, that if you were the only person on earth, Jesus would have died for you. You know, I don't know about you, but I sit in church with thousands of other people. I'm aware of millions of believers around the world. I have a tendency to see Christianity in a corporate sense, and that's great. We're part of a body. We're part of an army. But at the same time, there are those moments that we ought to realize how personal the sacrifice of Jesus was for us, how Jesus was literally carrying our individual sin and loving us while he hung on that cross for 6 hours. It's a powerful and transforming truth, and I hope that you'll listen to these teachings over and again. I hope you'll meditate on the scriptures, Mark 15, for example, to really get the sense of those 6 hours on the cross and what they ought to mean to you. You know, Paul said it clearly. He said to the Corinthians, I don't want to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. Well, this week, that's what we're doing. We're focusing on Christ and him crucified and what it means for us. Thank God for the love of God that's made evident in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Well, let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about how it cost Jesus all he had.
Basically, I believe that almost everything that happened in the life of Jesus was in some way predicted in the Old Testament. Jesus lived his whole life on earth to fulfill the predictions of the Old Testament scriptures. 18 times in the New Testament, the writer says about something that happened in the life of Jesus, it happened that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. I want to turn to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, which is the ceremony of the Day of Atonement, what the Jewish people call Yom Kippur, which they have observed without a break for 3,400 years. The whole of the ceremonies of the Day of Atonement are a prophetic preview of what Jesus was to do on behalf of the people of God. And the high priest, Aaron, is himself a type, a picture of Jesus. And only once in each year, under that particular dispensation, was Aaron permitted to enter into the holiest of all. Only on the Day of Atonement. And whenever he went in each year, he had to have two things: the blood of the sacrifice and the fragrant cloud of incense from the altar of incense. And the scripture says, if he had entered without either of those, he would have died instantly. Now here's a little part of this picture. Leviticus 16, beginning in verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself. Atonement is kippur, covering, and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil, the second veil. Notice he had to enter with blood and with this cloud of fragrant incense which typifies worship. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. had he failed to have that cloud of incense before him covering the mercy seat, he would have been struck dead instantly. And then what did he do with the blood? He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. The whole approach to the mercy seat, which represented the presence and the throne of God and the holiness of God, was stained with blood. The east side of the mercy seat was the side to which Aaron approached. That side of the mercy seat had to be smeared with blood. But before he reached the mercy seat, he had to sprinkle the blood 7 times on the way from the veil to the mercy seat. Now you say, well, why? 7 is the number of perfection, completeness. It represents the revelation and authority of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, it was a preview of what Jesus was to do in shedding his blood for us. Jesus sprinkled his blood 7 times in the atonement. And I want to turn now to the New Testament and very, very briefly point this out to you, the sevenfold sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. You see, when I see the absolute accuracy of the predictions of the Bible, it tremendously strengthens my faith. I realize that God is in total control. Had any person without a prophetic insight watched Jesus, the Son of God, being abused and struck and beaten and led away, you could have said, well, God's no longer in control of this situation. Things have gone out of hand. But when you look at the prophecies of Scripture, you'll see that every single thing that happened to Jesus had been predicted in the Word of God centuries beforehand. And no demon and no wicked man could do anything other than that which God had ordained. And brothers, when you and I are in a hard situation and we could be tempted to believe that somehow things are no longer under God's control, let's remember that God controls the forces of evil, and he will never permit them to do anything other than what he has ordained. It may be hard to believe it at the time, but the faith of Jesus himself never wavered. He knew in advance from the Old Testament scriptures what he was going to suffer. He plainly warned his disciples, and they couldn't believe it.
What an encouraging thing it is to consider that everything that Jesus did was fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. What a great and encouraging truth to know that God had been weaving all throughout the centuries and even in eternity a plan to set us free, to send Jesus to the cross so that we might know him and have the power of sin broken in our lives. It's such a beautiful thing to know that we have a Father who loves us so much. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Jesus' sacrifice on the cross did more than rescue us from an eternity of separation from God. As wonderful as that truth is, the power of his shed blood accomplished so much more. The fact is, few Christians truly understand the astonishing depth and breadth of Christ's redemptive work. Now, in the book, The Power of the Sacrifice, Derek Prince reveals how the cross provides so much more than a ticket to heaven. Through its pages, you'll discover that when the conditions are met, Christians can apply the blood of Jesus to every area of life and witness remarkable results and benefits. These truths are so important that we want you to have a copy of your own, free and postage paid. All you need to do is ask for it when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the book are both free. Receive the power of the sacrifice into your life today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for being with us today. We're in a wonderful series by Derek Prince on the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And in the portion that's coming up, I want you to pay close attention to the whole theme of the blood of Jesus. You know, it's not a theme we talk about very much in our generation, unless we're talking about AIDS or horrible bloodshed, but the shedding of Jesus' blood and the way he used it to cleanse is a powerful theme. Let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us.
The first sprinkling of the blood of Jesus is recorded in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That's the first sprinkling. Then they arrested him and took him away to the court of the high priest, and they began to mistreat him, to strike him. And it says in Matthew 26, verse 67, then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands. But if you have the same version that I have, the alternative reading is with rods. The Greek word could be interpreted either way. I believe it must have been rods because it was predicted in the Old Testament. Turn to Micah, if you wish, for a moment, chapter 5, verse 1, addressed to Jerusalem, to the Jewish people. Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. You see? Exactly predicted, something like 800 years before it happened. Now, when you strike a man on the cheek with a rod, you bring forth blood. And then he was taken before Pilate. Pilate wanted to release him, but the pressure of the people turned the situation the other way, and Pilate gave him over to be flogged, to be scourged. We look in Matthew 27 and verse 26. Then Pilate released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, of course, Pilate, the governor, didn't actually do the scourging, but he caused his Roman soldiers to do it. The Roman scourge was a whip with several thongs and of leather, and they were studded with pieces of metal or bone, so that when they fell across a man's body, they literally tore open his flesh and caused little pieces of flesh to just fly out with the lash. Now, there's another aspect to this that isn't actually stated in the New Testament. I don't know whether you've ever wondered how very succinct and brief the record of the sufferings of Jesus is in the New Testament. They never take any time to dwell on his emotions, but when you realize that the Old Testament contains countless predictions of his sufferings, if you turn to those, you get some insight into what went on in the mind and heart of Jesus, especially in the Psalms of David. Let me show you an interesting scripture which will help you to understand these things. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12, Peter is talking about the prophets of the Old Testament. And he says this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 and 12, of this salvation which we enjoy, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, you believers in Jesus, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of the Messiah who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. You see, this is a key to understanding something. If you read the writings of David and the Psalms, the writings of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others, you'll find that a significant number of times they spoke in the first person about things as if they had happened to them which never happened to them. David said in one psalm, they pierced my hands and my feet. It never happened to David. He said, they gave me vinegar to drink. It never happened to David. Many other different aspects of the sufferings of Christ were spoken of in the first person by the prophets of the Old Testament. What's the explanation? Peter tells us. was the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Messiah in them, testifying in advance of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Psalm 16 is a clear example. David said, "My soul shall rest in peace, and my flesh will not see corruption." But that was not fulfilled in David. In whom was it fulfilled? In Jesus, that's right.
You know, it's a thrilling truth that some of the Old Testament writers felt such identification with the crucifixion of the Messiah that they literally spoke of it as though it was happening in their own lives. As Derek said, David says in one psalm, "They pierced my hands and my feet." It's powerful the way these Old Testament writers came under the Holy Spirit and began to actually feel the drama and the power and the transforming nature of the crucifixion of Jesus. We ought to enter in to that same understanding. And we'll be talking about that more as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Jesus' sacrifice on the cross did more than rescue us from an eternity of separation from God. As wonderful as that truth is, the power of His shed blood accomplished so much more. The fact is, few Christians truly understand the astonishing depth and breadth of Christ's redemptive work. Now, in the book, The Power of the Sacrifice, Derek Prince reveals how the cross provides so much more than a ticket to heaven. Through its pages, you'll discover that when the conditions are met, Christians can apply the blood of Jesus to every area of life and witness remarkable results and benefits. These truths are so important that we want you to have a copy of your own, free and postage paid. All you need to do is ask for it when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the book are both free. Receive the power of the sacrifice into your life today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I'm just thrilled that you're joining me here on this Wednesday, particularly this Wednesday of Holy Week. All this week, we've been listening to a teaching by Derek Prince on how much it cost Jesus to sacrifice himself on the cross. And I'd like to take just a few minutes here to do something unusual. We don't have a great deal of material in the New Testament on the actual process of the crucifixion. I don't know why the Lord chose to write the Bible that way, and I'm not in any way complaining. I'm just saying that sometimes we don't quite appreciate what Jesus went through. And I think that if we did appreciate it, if we did understand it a little bit better, it might change the way that we honor Jesus. It might change how we understand his crucifixion on the cross. It might change even our sense of our redemption and the cleansing that comes from the shedding of his blood. You know, Jesus was tried overnight, the night before his actual crucifixion. It's one of the great myths that the Jews killed Jesus. I mean, we know that they participated in it. But the very reason that the religious authorities tried Jesus and had the various trials by Pilate and by Herod that we read about, the reason that they did it overnight was that they were afraid of the people, the Bible says. They were afraid that the people might riot because Jesus was incredibly popular among the people. So in the movies, when you see Jesus in enduring trials by Pilate and Herod and others during the daytime, actually the Bible describes that as happening during the nighttime hours. Finally, though, Jesus was crucified at what the Bible describes as the third hour, which would have been 9 o'clock in the morning. And it's very important for you to know that before he was ever crucified, he was scourged. And we have a tendency to think of this scourging as being something like the whippings that we see on old British ships and old movies. But it was a horrible, horrible thing. The Romans called their version of the scourging the almost death. And they had an iron ring that had leather straps extending from it. And sewn into those leather straps were pieces of metal, pieces of rock, glass. And the whole idea of the scourging was not just to lacerate the body, but to rip the flesh away. So when we have prophetically in the Old Testament, Jesus saying, or the Messiah saying, that his bones are exposed, this was literally true. And by the way, it sometimes is said that Jesus was whipped 39 times because that was the Jewish law. But you'll read in John 19 that it wasn't the Jews who whipped Jesus, it was the Romans. And the Romans, again, believed in taking the victim right up to the very edge of death. So we don't know that Jesus was scourged 39 times. He could have been scourged twice that or three times that. But what we can know for sure, and I don't mean to be too graphic here, is that large chunks of flesh were ripped away violently, and it was a horrible, horrible way for a man to be lacerated and for a man to be scourged. In fact, Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of the Christ, as bloody as it was, probably doesn't fully depict just how bloody that scourging was. Then Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning, probably on that Friday. And his feet would have been nailed with one nail. The 2 feet would have been on top of each other. And then, of course, there was a nail in each of the hands or the wrists on both sides of Jesus. And now a horrible thing happened. You see, in the ancient world, many of the ancient peoples had tried to find a slow, humiliating way to kill a man. They had tried boiling in oil. They had tried impalement. They tried beheading. They had tried drowning. They tried all kinds of method, but they had found them all to be too fast. And so finally, they settled upon, after a whole evolution of torture methods, settled upon crucifixion. And the horror of crucifixion was not just that a victim was nailed to the cross and left for the birds to pick at them and left exposed to the elements. The horror was this. When the person was nailed to the cross and they sunk down, so to speak, hanging from their hands or their wrists, within a very short period of time, the muscles in their chest, their thoracic cavity, would begin to convulse and they couldn't breathe. And so now they had to undergo the painful experience of pushing down on their feet to raise themselves up to alleviate the pressure on their chest so that they could take in air. And this, of course, became the thing that the crowd would ridicule and laugh at, that these people on the cross were going up and down and up and down, trying to get breath, and then in exhaustion, dropping down again, and then the convulsions would start again. It was a horrible, hellacious way to go. Well, the thing that's so amazing about Jesus is that not only did he endure this human suffering, this horribly, demonically designed human suffering, but then we know from the Bible that at midday, God took the sin of the world and put it upon him. I want you to think about that for just a moment. I want you to think what it was like for the sinless soul of Jesus to take on all the rapes, all the tortures, all the child abuse, all the murders, all the horrible crimes, the thefts, the bloodshed, the betrayals, all the horrible, nasty, wicked sins of man. All of that was put on the sinless soul of Jesus. And from midday on, as the world went dark, and Jesus felt as though God had turned his back upon him, Jesus hung on that cross, enduring all that physical torture, and then also enduring the torture of having the nasty sin of the world laid upon his sinless soul. And then finally, at 3 in the afternoon, finally, he succumbed to all of it, committed his spirit to God, and died. And at that moment, though the resurrection was yet to come, your sins were atoned for. The blood had been shed, and Jesus had died with your sin upon him, the sinless sacrifice of God. It's a powerful truth, and there's so much more that we need to know about this, but I wanted to make sure that you knew some of these specifics, some of these details of what your Lord and mine endured in those horrible 6 hours. Well, listen, I want you to hear this teaching by Derek Prince over and over again. Log on to derekprince.org. You'll find this teaching and much other material. But most of all, dive into the scriptures and really read about what Jesus endured. Read Isaiah 53, read Mark 15, and see what your Lord endured. And as we approach this resurrection weekend, may the resurrection power of Jesus Christ be known afresh in your life. Well, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to get your own free copy of Derek's eye-opening booklet, The Power of the Sacrifice, when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Call toll-free now, and we'll send you a copy free and postage paid. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.